experience God in it first, right? And I don't care if you're a new Christian or you're an old Christian that's been around for a while, amen? I don't care if you've never taught or you've taught your whole life. If you're not experiencing God, then you're going to share something that's not of Him. We want to experience Him in everything, and then when we share, amen? And this week, again, like three different instances, He showed me exactly what I want to share with you guys. And that's harsh. The last one was last night at Jacob's house. It was so funny. He's like, oh, no. You know, it's like, that's funny, Jacob. But I don't want to go there. But you know I'm going to. Amen. But I don't know how I got on this side of it. I was cracking up, man. Oh, forget it. All right. It's just an inside joke. All right. It was so funny, though. And it had to do with everything I want to share, which is amazing. Okay, so this is the first Corinthians is a harsh letter. And I've been telling you every time I get to share that it is a harsh letter, but it's not what God wanted to bring out of it. Okay, God wanted to bring out repentance. He wants us to know the things that are happening, right? So that we can come to Him. His Spirit is touching every heart when we read His Word. His Word is living and active. I can't read this and you not be moved. Okay? It's up to you to accept what He's sharing. You get it? You're going to be moved. But it's up to you to accept it or not and allow Him to change it. Amen? Okay? So, it's one of the harshest letters. I used to teach it harsh, you know, and I realized that that's not what I should be doing anymore. I need to show people what it says, but show them can change it in their life. Amen. We have a God. He's a living God. And when we put our trust in Him and we seek Him, right? It's just like your baptism we got to watch, right? Do you know why you were baptized? I believe that you know why. I'm just going to share it with everybody else. But you were burying that old life that was revealed to you through His Spirit and His Word, right? You were saying, I'm gonna follow Christ, right? What did Christ do? He called it His baptism. His baptism was dying on the cross for our sins, taking all of our sins on the cross and burying them in death. Amen? Right? But death couldn't hold Him because death can't hold life because it wasn't His sin on the cross. It was our sin on His shoulders. Amen. So He buried that sin for us. Right? And death couldn't hold Him, so He rose again. You see the beauty of it? So when we make a profession of faith, right, we bury that old life with Christ. We bury that old life. Right? And then we raise up in the newness of life. We come up in the resurrection of Christ. A new life, a changed life. Amen. We no longer have to be that old person. How did I get on this side of this? That's so awesome. You guys should have been there. It was mind-blowing. It was nothing, though, because we were both saying the same thing in different ways, but he got on the wrong side of it. Beautiful. And that goes to show us, amen? You know, the argument was, I'm just going to share it with you really quick, is that if we're not careful, we'll push people away. You get it? But I'm telling you today, if we're not careful, we'll keep people away. Okay, when you compromise Christ, and I don't care how you do it, but when you do it, you compromise yourself, you compromise your family, you compromise everyone around you. And that's just a fact. And that's what Paul's writing in the fifth chapter of Corinthians. He's saying, because you've allowed these things, you don't just allow them, you're proud of them. Which means you're part of them. You know what happens when sin comes into the church? It makes the church a carnal place. We bring the world into the church, we make the church worldly. That's what Paul's saying here. Not only is this one of the worst things that could possibly happen in the church, these things happen, they don't even happen in the world. And not only they don't even happen in the world, but you brought them into the church and you're proud of the fact that they're here. That's mind-blowing to me. But I've seen the movie. I've seen it over and over and over again. I've been in so many places. I've been in places where the pastor skips parts of the chapter. And I go, why did he skip those? Most people don't. They don't even look at their Bibles. Right? When was the last time you opened your Bible? Punk. Right? And in our little church, though, I believe you guys open your Bibles. I don't want to share something with you that you can't find for yourself. Amen? So I'm constantly encouraging you guys to open your Bible. Open your Bible. Read your Bible. I want you to come to me excited like I come to you. Amen? That's what makes a healthy church. We're all growing together in Christ. Amen? Until we all come to completion, let's work hard at it. You get it? Now, where was I? No, when I was talking. Nobody's listening, see? Wait, this guy's up. What's up? Yeah, there we go. Thank you. That brought it right back. And it isn't just one church. I've been in other churches where I know the people. And the pastor skips things and I go, wait a minute. And nobody else is looking. Matter of fact, they're up there laughing at the things he's saying that aren't even right in the church. And then I'm reading. I go back and I'm reading over and I'm going, oh, this is why. I'm not trying to judge anybody, right? But I have to judge for myself, because if I don't, then I'm going to follow what they're doing, because that's what most of the church is doing today. They're following what other people are doing. You get it? Right? We have things going on in churches today all across our nation that are so ungodly, it's not funny. And they're saying it's because we serve a God of love that they're allowing all those things in the churches today. That's bringing the world into the church, right? That's making God to our likeness, right? We were buried with Christ and he raised up in our likeness. Are you kidding me? But we all do it, right? See, he's calling us to know who God is and stop doing those things. And he uses one of the harshest things. This is crazy. I can't even see this. Old Testament, you'd be stoned. Right? So I'm not taken away from this sin. This is one of the worst things I've seen, okay? That's not what I'm doing. What I'm doing is telling you that God has a way for you out of these things. We sang songs this morning that were so beautiful to me, you guys. Right? Every one of them lifted me out of these things. My firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Do you know what that means? I want to share it with you, what God shared with me when I was singing it. God opens us up so deeply, you guys, that oh my gosh, it's so deep. He shows us the truth in everything. If we'll just listen, give yourselves to him for just a moment, amen? I'm singing this song, right? What does that song mean to me? What does it mean to me? Right? And I started seeing my life the way it was. And the life that I now have in him. Amen? And then I see, because of the life I have in him, all the lives that he's changed. Mike, if I would have kept acting like I used to be before he saved me from those things, none of those lives in my life would have changed. God would have never been able to use my life, is what I'm saying. He might have used somebody else. They might have still happened, but it wouldn't have happened through me. Amen? You get it? You guys, the power of God is in the Word of God through the power of His Spirit giving us life. Gives us life. And then we share that life with others. Amen? And what does He do? He works in us to change us, to work through us, to touch the lives of others. You need to know that. Did you like the finger pointing? Okay, I'll go over here. It's just because she works with the kids, you know. That's the next generation, amen? We sure don't want to compromise them. But you know how quickly we compromise? It blows my mind. What I do is I kind of go inside myself when I can't stand what's going on around me, especially in the church. And I just begin to pray for those people. Pray for them, because Jacob's right. I go to speak, right? I'm not even judging the people. Do you know how many times I've been told? I've been told this so many times. You think you're better than us. They think that because I'm reading God's word. I'm no better than anybody. I struggle with the same things and I fall sometimes. Amen? You know what I do? I get up in Christ. None of us are perfect, but get up in Him. Amen? Don't live in it. Don't live in it to the point where you drag others with you, that's for sure. This church in Corinth, right, was being dragged into this sin. And because of it, it didn't just corrupt the church in that area. It corrupted the church in every area. And it happens so fast. He uses the word leaven, yeast, being worked into the dough. Have any of you ever made bread? I put just a little sprinkle of this stuff in the flour. Add a little water, maybe an egg or two. I mix that thing up. Next thing I know, the whole thing's rising. Not one piece of it, but the whole bread starts to rise. And that's the way sin is. It comes into the church, right? We bring it in. And if people aren't seeking the Lord, they're not serving Him, they're not walking with Him, amen? They fall for those things. The Bible says in the end times that the heart of most people will grow cold. We're all growing cold. If we're not connecting with Him, if we're not in His Spirit every day, if we're not choosing to walk in Him, we're growing cold. You get it? But how many lives have been changed because we chose to walk in Him? You get it? I was with my sister this week, and she went to church for a while, Saddleback and some other places, but she's been in a bad accident, you know? So I've been spending time with her. And boy, every once in a while, there'll be an F-bomb come out of her mouth, you know? And she looks over at me, she goes, "Sorry, Matt," you know? And I'm like, I just start praying for her, you know? Because I'm not saying that all that's wrong, this and that. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying that when those things come in, especially when you're with somebody you respect and love in the faith, amen, and those things come in so easily, then when you're not with that person, that man or woman of faith, amen, that's probably what you're doing all the time. You get it? Right? So I just started praying for her. I love my sister. I didn't want to walk away from her. Amen? I'm not like the scripture this morning, I want you to know. I'm not saying it's wrong because I know it's right. It's scripture, amen? But I love people too much. I can't just walk away. I'll never give up on you. You get it? And that's not really what this is saying to me. I'm going to share with you what it's saying to me, okay? Is that we never give up on anybody, but we're never like anybody. When they're acting worldly, we're not going to act worldly with them. We're going to recognize it. We're going to know it's wrong. And what ends up happening, it's happened to me in my whole ministry, is people end up leaving the church on their own. Because the church won't convert to them. Do you understand? We don't have to ask somebody to leave. We just need to stop acting like them. Let the Holy Spirit work. Let the Holy Spirit convict their heart. Amen? You get it? Multiple times, more times than not, people have left the church because they don't want to hear what God has to say. They don't want to hear His word. More times than not. You're just a few in the ministry we've had here that chose to listen. Right? I told you 2 weeks ago, you were telling me you were struggling with this and this and that, remember? And I told you, be careful because I may never see you again. I meant it. I love Stephen and his family, but I may never see him again if he chooses not to seek Christ. He's going to fall away into the world. Right? Get it? Or worse, he's going to fall away into the world and act like in secret, like he's some secret agent, and then bring the world into the church. I've seen it both ways, haven't you? Over and over and over again. I shared with you a little bit about that, right? And I told you, whoa, 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 don't say those things. You know how many times I've talked to people and I've shared with them and I've loved on them and told them not to talk that way? Oh, no, no, and be so proud and prideful, and then guess what happens? I see him back on the street using drugs again, all sucked up, not wanting to talk to me when I see him. That's what happens. All right, nobody's listening. Let's read. I know, Paul, you prayed for us, though, so I'm going to go. You ready? Listen to the way he says this. It's actually reported. It's actually reported, like if it's at all possible. Like no way. Right? I can tell you things like that, sister. Happens to me almost every week in this little place. People come to me and I go, no way, not again. Why can't we just stop? Just stop. Stop doing it. Stop doing it. Stop looking at me, girl. Here we go. Watch. It's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that does not occur even among pagans. There's stuff going on in the church that we don't even see in the world. Watch what it says. A man has his father's wife. So it doesn't say his mom there. Okay? But in Leviticus and Deuteronomy both, it says that a man does not have his father's or his mom or his father's wife, period. You get it? Okay. Watch. A man has his father's wife. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being in a church where some guy is with his father's wife now and bringing her to church and acting like it's all good? Right? And then the whole church is like proud of it. Right on, dude. Yeah, we live in grace. You're good. What? That's what was taking place. And it says they were proud of it. You know why they were proud of it, sister? It's what I was sharing with you before. Huh? They brought the world into the church. Remember I was just sharing with you? I've been in messages where the pastor leaves scripture out. He jumps over it. I didn't get to finishing that with you because I wanted to put it with this, okay? You ready? The reason he did that, when I go back and read it, and I was telling you, I'm not doing it to judge him. I'm doing it to judge for myself because I'm not going to fall into that. You understand? That's why we need to be in God's word all the time. You know what I did when I went to look at it? I saw his life in it, and he couldn't share it because everybody else would have saw it too. So a man of God who's supposed to be sharing the truth, right, so that people can be set free, chose to leave something out so it didn't condemn him in their eyes. See how the corruption comes in? It comes in so subtle and so easy. Okay, I'm talking about a man of God, a pastor of a church, okay? But I'm telling you, we all do it if we're not careful. You get it? We got to be careful with our children, sister. You know what I do a lot? I'm going to share it with you. I've already shared it with everybody else at one time or another besides probably Jay and Amanda. I apologize to my adult children all the time when they're doing something that isn't right. All the time I apologize to them. It must blow their minds. They're like doing something, getting all crazy or something. I'm like, oh man, I'm so sorry. What are you sorry for, Dad? Because you're only acting like that because I act like that when you were little. That's not who I am anymore. That's not who I want you to be. Amen? And I constantly apologize to them. I did that. See how careful we need to be? You're lucky you're starting off. Well, you're real lucky you're starting off. Yeah, okay, here we go. Look at, watch. A man has his father's wife, and you are proud. Can you imagine? You know what we should do if we see stuff like that in our congregation? We should grieve for that person. We should be grieving. We should be on our knees praying with tears. Amen? I was driving home one day, and there used to be a truck stop called Simone's. A bunch of prostitutes, all this stuff over there, you know? And two men from our congregation saw me, and they popped the hood on their car, and they were looking at it like something was wrong. And I go, oh, man. I go, what happened, you guys? You want me to go home and come right back and bring some tools and stuff? What's going on, you know? No, we got it. We got it. I go, okay. You know, and I went on my way. It wasn't a month, maybe a month and a half later. Come to find out that one of them was sleeping with the other one's wife. They were both down there soliciting prostitution. Yeah, split the church. One side of the church took one side of the church took the other. Split the whole church. Some were proud of it. I heard a pastor one time talking about his wife sexually from the pulpit, and half the church was laughing, the other half was appalled. Do you get it? You get what Paul's trying to say here? It gets deeper. You want to hear more? I don't have time to take you to Romans and all the places I want to, but you can go there. Romans 6 and into 7. You guys read it tonight, amen? If we get there, we'll read it, but here we go. I talk too much. And you are proud. You are proud. Can you imagine that? You are proud. You are proud. I just, whoo. Shouldn't you rather be filled with grief? I prayed for those families. I'll never forget that. I prayed for those families. And they drug another family into it too. It was just craziness. One of them was one of my best friends, and it was his wife that got dragged in. Just terrible. We should be filled with grief and have put out of our fellowship the man who did this. Remember I told you I love too much? In this situation, I don't know. Amen? But you know what happens, you guys? The way that this happens for me, and I want to share it with you. If you just stay focused on Christ, you keep living in Christ, you don't move because of them. Amen? And they will leave on their own. They'll either get right, which is what you're praying for, you get it, or they're going to leave. But if we, because of grace, that's what they're doing right here. They're distorting grace. A distortion, remember? I had Cody look it up for me. They're distorting grace. I'm saved by grace so I can do anything. Right? If I'm saved by grace, shouldn't I just make God abound by sinning all the more? Bam, by no means. Amen? You get it? But that's the way a lot of people live. I've been in ministry so long, it's like people tell me, you're not going to tell me I'm not saved by grace, Pastor. I'm not telling you that. I'm just reading the scripture. But, you know, they think they can get away with the things they're doing because of what God did on the cross for them. All they're doing is deceiving themselves and deceiving others because it's not true. Reality is only found in Jesus. Amen? It's only found in the truth. You want to be set free? Choose Him. Let's read some more. Shouldn't you rather be are filled with grief and have put this put him out of your fellowship, the man who did this? Even though I am not physically present, I am with you in spirit, and I have already passed judgment on the one who did this, just as if I were present. When you are assembled, this part I love. Look at, remember I was trying to share with you guys. This is it right here. Okay? The power of God is displayed through His Word being alive in us because the Spirit's in us. Amen? His Spirit's in us. You get it? So Jesus is, Paul's not saying we have authority to kick people out and be like, you're out of here, this and that. You know what I mean? We have the authority amongst ourselves to not associate, right? Not do what they're doing. You know how many people I want to be in fellowship with that I only have a partial fellowship with because I can't do the things they're doing? I can't be in agreement. You know, people have been mad at me because they think I'm against them, and I'm not. I'm not against anybody. Okay? But I'm for Christ. I'm for Christ. I've had people say, oh, they told me I have to make a choice, and it had to do with ministry. I don't have a side. Amen. I'm on the side of Christ. I'm not on the side of Apollos or Paul. You get it? We make that choice, what we're going to do. And Paul's trying to call us out. When was the last time we made a choice to follow him? To really follow him? You know what I found myself doing over and over and over again in the world? Huh? Following myself, even though I claim to be with him. And then I'm never happy with the outcome. It's always the same thing over and over again. I always come up short. It's never what it should be. And I never give him a chance. It's like I always go back to what I know. You know what I mean? And that's how these things happen. We find ourselves back doing stuff we said we'd never do again. You know, doing the things we see other people do, wanting the things other people have and are doing, when God already delivered us from it. Because if we're not spending time with him, who are we spending time with? Amen? This is a rough crowd, Felicia. Can I get an amen? Come on, Felicia, you too? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Gosh. You guys are hard, man.
All right.
Even though I am not physically present, I am with you in spirit, and I have already passed judgment on the one who did this, just as if I were present. When you are, here it is right here. This is the part I wanted to share with you guys. This is the power of God. Amen. When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan, so that the sinful nature may be destroyed, and his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. Amen. You know what that means, you guys? It means to separate yourself from everything he's doing. That means to give yourself solely to God and separate. You know what will happen if somebody like that comes into the church? And that stuff's in the church, but the church decides to have a revival and truly seek Christ, that element will leave the church. I've seen the movie. Let me tell you this. You ready? You like that saying? I say it too often. Because I've seen it over and over again. Okay? This church here, when I first came, was more like a country club. That's a fact. And I don't know what happened. It seemed like in the first 2 years here, it was like the 20 years of ministry. Everything that could go wrong happened. And only a handful of original people stayed here. Everybody left. And I could be wrong, but talk to Paul or others, I don't know. All I did was share the gospel. Amen? All I did was share the gospel and people started leaving. Huh. It hurt my heart. Hurt my heart tremendously, but over time I realized what it was. I thought I was doing something wrong. You get it? I really thought I was doing something wrong. And I've seen that in a couple different churches now that I've been to. And it hurts my heart. The beautiful thing is a lot of times people do come back. Something happens in their life and they remember. And I've heard this over and over again too, like, man, I knew I should have just kept growing in the Lord. I knew I shouldn't have walked away. You get it? This is a chapter of sin, but it's also to call us back to Him. So we can recognize sin for what it is, amen, and choose not to be part of it. That's what He's calling us to now. You ready for this next scripture? This is where you're supposed to go into Romans 6, but I don't have time now. I spoke too much today. You ready? 5. No, I read that part right. 6. Oh, I wanted to hit on that just a little bit more. You know, there's not a person sitting in this room today that's not here because somebody in their life walked with the Lord. There's not one of us here today are sitting here today because we knew somebody who walked with the Lord. Amen? Right? And it's what drew us to Christ. And if we were lucky enough, that person stuck it out with us, amen, until we grew up in Christ. We no longer needed a teacher. The Holy Spirit teaches us now. You get it? Amen? And that's what I'm talking about. When you start to live that life in Christ and with Christ, amen, like I was saying earlier, you're not against the person. You're just not going to walk with them anymore. And if you have people that aren't walking with you, you're not going to stay with those people. So he's going to be delivered over to the enemy, which is what he's chosen to do. Or she. Don't do it. You get it? Right? With the hopes. With the hopes, because now they know the truth, that they come back to Christ because of the threat of being without us in the world anymore. You get it, brother? Yeah. Here we go. 6. Your boasting is not good. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Don't you know when something like that comes into the church and nobody says or does anything about it, it works through every single life here? It destroys the ministry. It destroys what God's doing. You get it? We're either for him or we're against him. We're either going to be with him, amen, or we're going to be with the enemy. We choose. Sister, it's hard when you come into a body of believers and you start to share the gospel. I've done it multiple times now. start to share the gospel and all kinds of chaos happens. I've been in places, sister, where the leadership come against me because the church is growing and doing the right thing. That's the truth, and it's mind-blowing. Amen. That's why I love our little church, because there's freedom here. You get it? See, I'm not against the person that's in sin. I want them to come here. Because I have brothers and sisters who will love them into the truth. You get it? Right? But if a brother or sister comes into the church and is trying to lead people astray, that's when we need to stand together in Christ to change that situation. You get it? Don't compromise and end up on the other side. Sorry, I love it. I knew what he was saying. I didn't at first, but then I caught on, and then I just kept messing with him. How did I get on the other side of this? I stinking love it. Okay. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Listen. Get rid of the old yeast. Brother, Stephen, bury it. Okay? It was what you were when you came to Christ. Get it? What did Christ do? Huh? He separated you from that sin. Right? And you got to start over in a new life. He's telling us, get rid of that old life. It's going to keep creeping up on you. It's going to keep coming back in. You got to keep giving it to the Lord. Keep giving it to the Lord. Keep giving it to the Lord. Amen? One day you wake up and say, when did I stop doing that? But we got to keep giving it to Him. Keep giving it to Him, sister, okay? Here we go. Get rid of the old yeast, that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. That's who you really are, because Christ did that for you. Amen? We're covered by His blood. He's going to tell us that right now. I should just read it, okay? Watch. Get rid of the old yeast, that you may be a new batch of yeast, or without yeast, as you really are. Amen? For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. There's no more sacrifice to be made. Amen? Remember, that's why I started off with over and over again, I went into Jude trying to explain what grace really is to you. Grace isn't a place to hide your sin. How many of us, right? We're in sin, we're doing it. We're committing the act. And we think, oh, God saved us. We'll be okay. And we just continue to do it. Our hearts are growing cold. Right? And that's stuff that's being taught to us. I've seen it over and over and over again. Okay? We are saved by grace. But grace isn't a place to hide your sin. Grace is a place to overcome it. The Bible says the old is passing away and the new has come. It doesn't say it passed away. We're still living in this world. Amen? Get it? But he's already come into our life to change those things. Okay. Therefore, I was going to take you guys into Exodus about the Passover. Remember? You guys have read it? Have you guys all read it? They have to take a lamb, right? And they have to proportion that lamb by how many people are in their house, because they have to eat all of it. We have to eat all of it. Right? This is the Lamb of God. This is the Word of God. Amen? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God in the beginning. Amen? You get it? The Lamb. We have to eat all of it. Far out, right? And then we take the blood from that lamb, we put it on the doorpost of our house so that the death angel passes over. That's what Christ did on the cross when He covered us. Only it wasn't a temporary fix that they had to do every year. Okay? Christ did it once for all. Even for those that aren't saved, He did it for. All they have to do is ask Him. He didn't just bury my sin because I got saved in the grave. He buried all sin. Did it once for all. Amen? Amen. Therefore, let us keep the festival. I was thinking about this. I should have just read the rest of it first. I looked at it two different ways. Memo brought it up last week, and I brought it up several times in the past, but the festival to me is the day I got saved. Do you remember the day you got saved? Do you? Amen? Nothing was holding you back. You were forgiven and free. You never heard me say this, okay, brother? But when I got saved, I was a drug addict. And I was a hardcore meth addict, like bad. I was messed up so bad in so many ways, okay? And I started going to church, and I was still doing meth, going to church and stuff. I was all messed up. But a pastor loved me. He just kept sharing with me, kept sharing with me, kept sharing with me. And then one day, I just knew ahead of time, I knew I was giving my life to Christ. I don't know. It was the weirdest thing, okay? But I was sitting in the back, and as I walked forward, I remember so clearly, I started to feel the weight of my sin. Like everything, it just all started coming to me. Like it was supernatural, too. You can't even think that fast. There was so much of it, and it was hitting me so hard. And as I tried to walk forward, I couldn't even go to people to pray with them. I tried to walk forward, and the closer I got to the altar, the heavier it was. I just went right to my knees. And it literally felt like those pallets of bricks was on my shoulders. It was that much. It was that crazy. It's the truth. But when I got up from there that day, I never touched the ground walking out. My feet never touched the ground. I was so free. I was so full of life. I actually experienced life for the first time ever. Amen? And I was free from all the things that he supernaturally put on me so that I could. I was carrying that, brother. Imagine what a life is like carrying that. I was carrying that. And all of a sudden, I wasn't carrying it anymore. Let's keep the festival. Amen? He's actually talking about that week of the Passover lamb that they did every year in the Jewish custom. You understand? And it's the same meaning. Only now in Christ, he's fulfilled that. So we don't have to do it over and over and over again. It's done for us. Amen? And I was set free like man. Right? But what happens? The enemy creeps in. We fall back to our old ways. We struggle with things. Right? So he's telling us, let's keep that. Let's fight for that which first saved us. Let's talk about it over and over and over again so that one day when I'm gone, you remember it. Amen? I stole that from Paul and Peter, just so you know. You guys ready? Oh, I still have a few minutes. Here we go. Keep the festival. Okay, 8. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old yeast, right? Let's not stay in fellowship with our old life. You know, when I first got saved, Jacob, I couldn't hang out with my dad or my family. I couldn't hang out with my friends. See, I tried, and every time I did, I fell back into it. After what I just shared with you about how that pallet was lifted, I floated out of the building, amen? Satan has a way. He finds those little cracks, and he comes right in. And I just couldn't do it. I found myself falling back, falling back, falling back. And so I said, no, I'm going to just stay with the Lord. But you know what happened when the Lord changed my life? All those people are saved today. You see it? Because the power of God comes through us trusting Him. The Word of God is the power of God. You get it? It's what changes our lives. I just shared that with you earlier, so we're going to move on. I have written you, this is cool too. I didn't finish the first part, huh? 8. Therefore, let us keep the festival not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and of wickedness, but with the bread, with bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and truth. Amen? The bread of sincerity and truth. It's without yeast. Without your old life, without sin in it. Amen? That one hit me because a lot of times, and I hear it a lot of times, even in our little church, okay? People think they can do something, including myself. I'm being honest with you guys. I'm not perfect. And sometimes I think, oh, I'm strong enough to do this. Right? It doesn't have control over me. But it doesn't make it right. We think we're strong enough, but it's just a way the enemy is trying to find a way back into our life. We know the truth. We've been set aside to be holy. Amen. Sanctified by Him every day through His Word and His Spirit to be holy like He is holy. We can't get away with those small things we think are okay. It's just entertainment. It's just this. It's just that. Amen. That's just Satan speaking, trying to pull you in. I love blood and guts. I don't know if I can give it up. It's the truth. I struggle with that. I look for those shows, huh? I like to watch it. You know what I mean? And that's no different than what we were talking about. Right? Paul used to love this show called Dead People After They're Dead. What? The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead. Listen, everybody loves it. Well, don't talk about that. Listen, Paul talked about it for 3 years. I don't think it's bad. Nope, I think it's fine. No, there's nothing bad in it. No. All this stuff. And then all of a sudden one day is like, yeah, it's not that good. I probably shouldn't be watching that anymore. You know what I mean? Right? Was it like 2 years? 3 years?
The language got really foul. And we as a family talked about it. And
see, you're close enough to get kicked too. Who's preaching here, Paul? You or me?
Keep going, Paul. Talk to the Lord.
But right? Right, though? I could pick on Paul all day because there's so many things, you know. I used to pick on Mike, but I told him I wouldn't anymore. So you should have seen our first 4th of July party at Mike's house, or Paul's house. That was awesome. He said, look, I'm a Christian now. And you've been a Christian for years. What are you talking about? Well, we're not doing this anymore because family used to bring all kinds of little party favors, you know. And they still showed up with him. Paul's like, no, I told you you're not doing that here. The whole church is there. They're like bringing in beer and stuff, you know. Token weed around the corner or whatever. Paul's like, no. Now they won't come there and do that. Why? Because he stuck to it. And because he stuck to it, right, it changed the situation. And because the situation changed, now he can probably reach those people. And if he hasn't reached some of them already, how would we reach them if we're doing what they're doing? Get it? How is somebody going to reach us? Because we've fallen into it. That's what he's trying to say here. Get rid of the old yeast, amen? You made a commitment when you were baptized, amen? You made a commitment when you were baptized into the Holy Spirit, when you accepted Christ into your heart, amen? But then you showed that commitment by being baptized. Why live like we used to live anymore? Amen? You ready? I have written you. So this is telling us that he had written them a previous letter, and they took it the wrong way. Man, I was with Rick one time, and we were doing some stucco on some guy's house. It was his customer, and he wanted me to come help him. And the guy was cussing up a storm. Mike's laughing because I couldn't even read a half a verse. This guy's cussing up a storm, right? And because I'm there, because I've told Rick a bunch of times, what are you doing? You know, he's supposed to be my brother in Christ, and he's doing all these same things, you know? And so he stands up, and he tells the guy, you shouldn't be doing that. Everything I told him, right? Well, the guy's in the world. He never claimed to be a Christian. I told Rick, what are you doing? Like, he wanted us off his property. You know what I mean? Oh, to know Christ? What business do you have to say anything to him? Amen? You know what we do in that situation, sisters? We love them and we share with them who we are because of what he's done. And it changes their lives. Amen? And this is what Paul's talking about. You guys took it out of context over here, right? Watch, here we go. I have written you in my letter not to associate. I wish we had that letter, right? It probably didn't survive, but here we go. I have written you in my letter not to associate with sexual immoral people. Not at all, meaning the people of this world. Listen to what he's saying here. If we took that to heart, we would have to leave the world because it's everywhere out there. Amen? He's saying it's not supposed to be in here anymore. Okay? Already? Okay. I have written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world and swindlers. No, wait a minute. I'm not there. People of this world who are immoral or greedy or swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave the world. Get that? It's out there, but it's not supposed to be in here anymore. What's yours say?
It says, but now I am writing to you instead of what I wrote to you.
Oh, interesting. Well, same thing, I think. I think, huh? Say it again. Say it again, Micah. Oh. To me, it means the same thing still, because he's reminding them probably of something he wrote, the way yours is written. But anyways, it says, not at all, meaning the people of this world, amen, who are immoral or the greedy or the swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you'd have to leave the world. So he's clearly not talking to the world. He's talking to the church today. Amen? He's talking to us. I told you guys earlier, not one of us would be sitting here today if somebody didn't live in Christ and share him with us. But now I am writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother. You get it? Here's what he's saying, okay? He gets harsh right here, okay? Remember I shared a story with you about two guys in the church whose car was supposedly broke down? Right? I only tell you that story and its truth because they confessed it later when they got caught. You get it? Okay? I better read again, I forgot. Not at all. In that case, you had to leave the world. Okay, but now I am writing you that you must not associate. Okay, here we go. You know, they could have sucked me into what they were doing. Right? But if I'd have known what they were doing, I would have prayed with them and took them home. You get it? I wouldn't have allowed that because they're my brothers. And if they continue to do it after I knew and wouldn't allow it, do you understand? Then I probably would have to distance myself, just like I told you, I had to distance myself from other people. Right? I told you guys earlier, there's people I want to be in relationship with, but I have very small windows of relationship with them because I'm not going to do what they're doing. And the only time I'm associating, I want to associate, I want to spend time with them, but I'm not, because even if I'm with them, I'm not. Right? And the only time I really associate is when that window opens. Like my little sister I was telling you at the hospital, right? Her friend came in, whose brother's dying of cancer. She was heartbroken. They sent him home on hospice, and he's real bad. He won't last long. Right? I stopped the whole room. I grabbed her hands. I prayed with her. God opened a window where I could be who I am with them. You get it? I wasn't going to associate with them on their terms, right? But I will definitely associate with them on God's terms. You get it? There's a lot of people's brother. It's so funny. Most of the people in this room at one time or another thought I was against them. I'm not against you. I'm just not for you. Get it? Not always, sister, just when you're acting up. Okay, here we go. Most of the time I'm, you know what I mean? Okay, here we go. But now I am writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater, a slanderer. That's the one I hear the most and I hate it. A drunkard or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. So you can't associate with what they're doing. You can't be part of it. Remember I said the slanderer part? That's what I see in the church most of the time. People come to me and they talk about their brother or sister. You know what I've been telling people lately? Because when they come to me, you get it? Okay? I'm not talking about you, sister. I love you. And we've just worked all that out a million times. But it's different. You understand? Okay? But they come to me talking about somebody. You get it? And they want me to be in agreement with them. I don't care if it's true, I'm not in agreement with them talking about it. Right? And then they always tell me, 9 times out of 10, don't say anything, Pastor, because I don't want them to know I talked to you. Are you stinking kidding me? You know what I've been telling people now? Don't come to me. When it's happening, talk to them. When it's happening, tell them you don't want to be part of it. When it's happening, tell them that it's not right. Don't come to me anymore. Talk to them why it's happening. Do it in love, but do it. Be like, no, I can't listen to this anymore. I don't want to hear this. It's wrong. And I, you know what I tell people? Even if it's right, I don't want to think about my brother or sister that way. I don't want to know that. Amen? I want to be who I am in Christ, and I want to share with them the truth all the time. I want to be able to love them. I don't want to see them through your eyes. I want to see them through the eyes of Christ. Amen? Right? You know what happens when you walk in the Lord, brother? And that kind of stuff happens to you? You know how many times I've had people badmouth me and nasty things? Right? And I just keep loving that person. Have everybody in the church come in and telling me what's being said, what's happening? I just keep, I love that person more. You know what ends up happening? It ends up changing, it changed, first changed my heart so I could love them in spite of that. Right? But then it changes that heart. And if it doesn't change that heart, they won't stay. We don't have to disassociate. You don't have to say, dude, I don't like what you did. Get out of the church. Okay, I don't like what you said. Go. I've told you guys 100 times, if I treated everybody the way I'm treated by you, this place would be empty. You get it? You love people. Right? You don't do what they're doing. You don't associate in the areas where they want you to be with them. Right? You're not in agreement with them, but you love them. And you know what? That's giving them over to Satan. That's heaping hot coals on their brow. And people go, yeah, I'm going to heap hot coals on their brow. No. You want it to be something that changes their heart, that turns them from it. Amen? Let's finish this scripture because now I'm over by 6 minutes and you guys talk too much. Here we go. If you guys weren't talking in between my message, we would be, have more time. All right. You ready? This is a hard thing to teach on, isn't it, Mike? You'd say, no, it's easy. But if you say, no, it's easy, it's because you're proud too and doing the wrong thing. This is a hard thing to teach on, right? Because we want to tell the truth, but we want everybody to be under God's grace. We want to love everybody, amen? But you know what love is? It's not letting people get away with what they're doing. Love is what sets them free from what they're doing. Thank you, sister. How many of us say we love our kids and our kids are just apps? You know, let me just put it to you like this, and I'm going to end with this and I'm going to finish the scripture. But there's a lady who was in our church for 17, 18 years, right? She come in, her babies were little. And she, in front of everybody, oh, they're little demons. In front of their kids, calling them, oh, they're little demons. Oh, they do this. Oh, they do that. Right? They grew up a little bit. Oh, could you pray for me? My son got caught at school with this or that or the other thing. Oh, my son can't stop fighting. Oh, he's just so bad. So right in front of the kid, she's saying all this stuff. True story, okay? Then the kid gets older. She comes to church broken. My kid's in prison. They gave him life. Crying. You know what I mean? And then the worst thing could happen. He died in prison. Come to the church again. And the whole time it was out of love that she didn't discipline him. It's out of love. She never stopped and read the word and talked to him about God. Came to the church the whole time. We're the same way if we're not careful. We love people so much that we can't tell them the truth. That's a worldly love. And agape love is to walk in the truth. Amen? And share that truth by how you walk. And when you have to, then you speak. Amen? Let God sort it out. But let's be what God's called us to be so that he could not just change our life, but use our lives to change the lives of others. Amen? He wants to work in you, sister, for you. But once he gets you there, he wants to work through you for somebody else. That's how every one of us are here. You get it? I'm not trying to water down the gospel today, you guys. I feel like it a little bit. Because this is a hard scripture. Right? But if we started pointing out every single person's faults, place would be empty. Right? I want you to come with your faults. I want you to hear the gospel and let the Holy Spirit change those things about you. Amen? Yeah. If you come in here and start teaching other people stuff, we're going to have some words. You know what I'm saying? Here we go. Here we go. I'm just teasing, but that's funny, huh? Don't smile about that. Here we go. But now I am writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral, greedy, or idolater, slanderer, or drunkard, or swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. Amen? What he's saying is don't be in any kind of fellowship with them in their way. I take that as like a meal with them, right? That's what you're thinking, and it's true. Like we shouldn't. If we spend time with them on their terms, we're going to fall. You get it? But I'm also saying about God's word, because they're going to twist God's word, like I told you so many times, right? To fit their narrative, to make God in their image. I'm going to tell you the truth. You want to know the truth, Mike? Every one of us do that to a point, and nobody knows about it, because we want to get away with something. So we try to like, oh, I think this is okay. You get it? If the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, let him convict your heart. Amen? Because he wants to change that about you, because it isn't right. You ready? Did you find another one? Okay, here we go.
I read it in full context.
Oh, I actually heard it when you read it. But anyways, here we go. Sexual immorality, where am I, 12?
Yeah,
12. All right, we're actually going to close because you guys have gone over. Here we go. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? People always say, you're not supposed to judge me. You're not supposed to judge me, amen? And we're not supposed to judge anyone onto condemnation. That's God's job. Amen? Right? We judge for two reasons. One, so that we don't fall into it. Right? John says in 1 John 4, to test the spirits. And he's talking about judging the motives of the person. He's talking to little S spirit people. Right? Why are they doing it? Why are they trying to drag me into it? Why should I hate Allie because somebody else hates Allie? What's the motive behind that? Why do they want me to be on their side over you? You understand? You get it? We can either speak life or death in the body of Christ, right? When we're walking with Christ, it doesn't matter what the other person's doing. We're always going to speak life. We're always going to share the truth. We're going to be appalled at hearing something different, right? But we're still going to love the person to hopefully bring the person out of that. You get it? Okay. We're not always going to, none of us are going to be in agreement with each other because we're all different. Okay, and I don't mind having a disagreement as long as we're working together in Christ to solve it. Right? Because he's never going to come between us. He's going to draw us together. You get it, sister? Okay, here we go. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. Amen? It doesn't have anything to do with those things. I have one more story while we're waiting for the band. Amen? Okay. There's these people in our church, you guys. This was years ago, and they were even teaching Sunday school and a home Bible study and everything. And they asked me to go look at houses with them in the high desert. They were going to give me a percentage of what they bought if I fixed it up and showed their son how to do the work so that he could take over, right? Well, that's cool. I'll do it. You know, so I went up with them. We're up here in the high desert, and before you know it, they're cussing, they're talking bad about the waitress, like sexually, all kinds of stuff. And I was like, knock it off, you guys. And they thought, they're laughing at me. So we get in the van, we're on our way to another house or something, they start up again. I'm like, you know what, just pull the car over. They're like, what do you mean? Yeah, right, we're going to, I said, you're going to walk home? I go, yeah. I was up in the high desert, and I'm like, let me out. If I can't call anybody to come get me, I'll walk home. You know what it's like, you guys, when we're together in this place, right? It's like we're all Christians. You know what I mean? We're all Christians. We're all doing good, right? But the minute we get away from here, we're something else. And because we're something else, when we leave here, we perceive everybody else being that way. You understand? Right? And there is a good outcome. There was a lot of trash talked on me when we got back to the church. Like a few weeks went by, a lot of trash was talked on me at church. Amen? But the people who knew me knew that it was trash. You get it? And it ended up changing the lives of the people who were talking. You get it? That's what it's about. Amen? So let's remember who we are, who we serve, right? Let's not be moved by something that even we might see or desire by our own selfish desires. Amen? Let's trust God with things. Okay? You're up there? Brother Paul? Sister Francis?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that this morning. The Holy Spirit was definitely there. Amen?
Praise God.
Excuse me.